Hey, this is Michael Carter, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for the Week 11 Waiver Wire edition of the Roster Watch podcast. So pumped to be here with you. And Cody, I got to say, I think that when we look at the waiver wire this week and putting together the waiver wire cheat sheet, you know, Trash Man puts it together, you and I do some quality control on it, and I'm just... It's not the sexiest week on waivers that we've seen so far.
I don't have a fart sounder, but if I did, I think I'd play it. I don't really have any big overarching thoughts just coming into it. I know there's a couple of potentially banged up players. We talked about it before we came on, that the short week with Trayvon Henderson supposedly experienced a knee injury, even though he just had this, you know, amazing Trayvon Henderson performance that we knew he had in the bag, potentially had a knee injury. So I guess there's potentially some short week Jets on Thursday Night Football, maybe a D'Ernest Johnson action or a Terrell Jennings action here, but hopefully Trayvon makes it through healthy.
Yeah, he was playing. I'm pretty sure that he was he played through the end of the football game, so I think Trayvon will be fine. But yeah, we did see Terrell Jennings have to leave that game. Certainly, much more at risk of missing this week would be Jennings than would be. Yep. Trayvon, but yeah, you can look at the running back position if you really need help this week, which hopefully you don't, but maybe you're one of these teams that just has, you know, you went hero RB and you just have Jonathan Taylor and, you know, a bunch of other dudes you've been kind of rotating in. Somebody like D'Ernest Johnson this week versus the Jets could be interesting, but it would be exactly that, sort of one of these 1 week pickups. He's only been there for about 6 days at this point. Yeah. It is the number 5 matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool for opposing running backs this week, and they are showing up as 11.5 point favorites to start. So obviously probably going to be in a pretty good script to run here in this one on Thursday. Tyler Allgeier has been on the top of this sheet for a long time for the two reasons that we've talked about. And that is, one, there are weeks that he can have standalone value. If you just have to grin and bear it and put this dude in what you consider to be good matchups, he can pop off for, you know, you saw what he was able to do this last week, right? Tyler Allgeier looked like, I didn't want to say, to all the fans in Berlin, you know, looks like, you know, they probably look at that and they're like, man, gosh, Atlanta's got two really good running backs. You know what I mean? They probably don't have much of an idea that, you know, how much, you know, the way that we consider Bijan Robinson being so much better than Tyler Allgeier, when Tyler Allgeier is the one that gets 11 touches and 2 touchdowns in this football game, right? And sort of, you know,
I think Ian Arditz had the tweet that was like, the Berlin Today newspaper is going to have it. The best running backs are Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Allgeier, Bijan Robinson. Like, that's just like their knowledge of like an alien dropping down and being like, yeah, this is how it is. Like,
they don't know. Like, if you were just to watch that one game, Hardest is good at the whole Twitter thing for sure. But yeah, that's sort of the same thing that I thought for sure. But you know, I obviously, if something were to happen to Bijan, you would. Tyler Allgeier is just just an awesome, awesome, awesome handcuff. But he has a little bit of standalone value. It's what we said the whole time. I think it's also the time that, you know, this week, one thing I did, I saw that somebody had dropped Brian Robinson. I am not a Christian McCaffrey owner in that league, but I snatched him up immediately as soon as I could, because Christian McCaffrey now is trending towards basically having more touches than he's had in his career, more touches than a lot of guys. Cody, what is he trending for? Is it like 400 touches that he's trending for this year?
Well, he's trying to hit the 1,000 mark, 1,000 reception, 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing in like 3 weeks. So
if Brian Robinson's out there and you have Christian McCaffrey, he should be your number one waiver target this week. My wife plays in one fantasy league. She's doing really well right now because, of course, she used the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft cheat sheets, and she has put together a great squad. She has McCaffrey on that team. And I've been begging her to just like, dude, take a little bit of time. Let's put together some trades for this guy that has Brian Robinson. At this point, you might even have to buy a little bit high because, you know, you saw, did he score this week? I think he might.
Rob?
Yeah. Did he score? Or did he just look good?
Yeah. He had a touchdown.
Okay. So maybe somebody will say like, no, you know, he's actually biting in a little bit more, but I think they would know. It's like, you watch those games. He's only playing 20% of snaps. But he's a guy that I'm begging my wife to go out and trade for since she has McCaffrey. So I would say if you have McCaffrey and he's available on waivers, by all means, go and get that done. You do not want to lose McCaffrey and just have nothing to show for it. And it's like, it's really, he's just run so hot that he's been just so healthy this whole year with just so much of a workload. And I will say this too, in Dynasty, Cody, I'll be interested in how y'all are treating McCaffrey in the Dynasty top 250, but I'm kind of starting to think that this is the last hurrah. I'm not sure if he gets through this thing. I'm not sure I'm getting back on the train next year.
As far as the dynasty, I think I've moved him down. Like I moved him down like last summer or the summer before, kind of out of that top five range. Right now is consensus. This might be low for a lot of people, but we have him as running back 18.
Well, that is a little bit low because
he's still top 100. Obviously, it's still McCaffrey, but it's like you have to acknowledge the guy's 29 years old and his injury history. It's like at any point you move him back up and you're like, oh, this guy's a top 30 asset. Well, he is, but if you're building for Dynasty, which is a 3-year project, not a now, certain teams are now. That's like a win now versus long term build. But right. I mean, you got him at 67th overall, 68th overall, like. Comparing that to having him in like top 30 right now, where that's like a guy like Breece Hall and Jonathan Taylor. And like, these are, you're talking about 6-year advantages. So it's forward thinking more so than just being like in the moment, I guess.
Other guys are the running back that you would want to consider. I think Sean Tucker, we saw this week, let me pull up the snap counts, touches and targets. I want to make sure I get it right. It just feels like he was mixing in a lot more this week with Rashad White. So not quite as much as I thought he was. 32% of snaps versus 72% of snaps for Rashad White. But he did have two targets. He had the 10 touches, 51 total yards. This thing with Bucky Irving is starting to get a little bit scary. Not quite as scary from the Buck side as the whole Chris Godwin thing, which I'm not even, like, I don't even know what to think about Godwin. But with Bucky Irving, it was never supposed to take this long. And I was just most disappointed coming into last week that right at the beginning of the week, they said, no, he's not going to go, right? The week that we were all – the week we were all targeting was week 10. Mm-hmm. And whenever they just said to start the week, no, it's not going to be this week. You begin to wonder, all right, well, when is it going to be with him? And it could be something where this starts to be a little bit more of a committee. I think that Sean Tucker is a viable pickup. I'm just looking down like there's a Devin Singletary stuff. I don't know what to do with the Arizona guys. I would say, you know, if Trey Benson's out there, you definitely want to get him, but we can't get him on the cheat sheet because he's owned in too many leagues.
I was going to ask that his numbers came down. It just continues to trickle down and down. He's within 10 percentage points of getting on the sheet.
Like okay.
He's getting down here.
He would be at the very top of the sheet.
Yeah.
Because Bam Knight's hurt now and Michael Carter just stinks. Right. So, and Amari DiMarcado is just, we know what he's a third down kind of receiving, you know, two minute back. And, once Trey Benson gets back, we saw in the one game where he was able to kind of be a starter there, in the game that he got hurt, he was actually handling a lot of those kind of high calorie type of situations himself. So it's a murky situation there with the Arizona guys.
61% on Yahoo, 66% on Sleeper. So we're a week away from Benson being on the sheet.
I think that this week it'll go back up. I think there's enough people giving advice that people need to own Trey Benson. And of course, he's probably not going to be available in your league if you're here watching the show. But if he is, by all means, go out there and get him. Is he even a 10-team league pickup?
I'm not sure. I mean,
I think he's right on the precipice of being a pickup in a 10-team league.
It depends.
Well, of course.
You look at the art of the running back position right now, it's like, yeah, we're talking about the Rashad White Tucker thing, and like Bucky, there's no timetable on Bucky and Godwin, which is just, yeah, he probably is, you know, in a certain situation. Like you look at the Arizona Cardinals run out, their division's obviously pretty tough, but I think their schedule's top half or top 10 as far as the rest of the season goes. They only have a couple tough matchups left. So if he gets back, it's going to be his backfield as long as he's. I just worry about these long-standing returns. Like generally it's like, you know, the guy that, you know, goes on IR and it's like, well, this guy's actually ready to come back before his IR, you know, timetable's up. And it's like, or the instant he's available, it's like he's activated.
Yeah.
So you got guys that's kind of like.
Do you have a similar worry for Omarion Hampton?
Yeah.
We had somebody ask.
Because the ball looks so good.
I told a guy in our comment section that I didn't know. Like, I was like, that's a really tough question about a trade that he's trying to do right now. I said I would talk to you on the show about it. So we'll get to that whenever we get to the, you know, the sell highs, the buy lows, and the can you drop them portion. But speaking of Godwin, as we move to wide receivers here, I think, man, now Tez Johnson's got to be a pretty priority pickup for you, right? I think that him and Alec Pierce would be the two that I would be most interested in this week. With Pierce, maybe if you need who does Tampa have this week on the matchup?
Tampa at Buffalo.
So not great. It's not a horrible matchup for opposing wide receivers, but it's definitely been an easier matchup for opposing runners this week or this year when facing Buffalo. But Tez, I mean, you know, I had to pick him up in one league and start him this last week whenever I was, you know, I was missing Rashi Rice and I was missing CeeDee Lamb. And I had to pick up Tez Johnson and play him. And man, it feels good to have that guy put up a, you know, 19 burger for you. So, you know, go pick him up. He looks to me like, you know, Emeka Egbuka is the wide receiver one, but is there any doubt that, with Chris Godwin being so nebulous and Mike Evans just being done, that Tez Johnson for the rest of the season could be the wide receiver two for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
That guy needs to be owned, you know?
This is your – so since week seven, so the last 4 weeks, and Tez has only played in three games, these guys around him, listen to these. This is the list of names that have scored within 10 fantasy points of Tez Johnson. The four guys in front of him. He's wide receiver 19 in total fantasy points at wide receiver over the last 4 weeks. He's played three games. Wide receiver 19, Tez. 18, Addison. 17, Jefferson. 16, Lamb. 15, Diggs. 14, St. Brown. Like, that's the category he's in right now. And the role doesn't seem like it's going to change. He just keeps catching touchdowns.
Yeah, man. So pick up Tez. Trashman has Alec Pierce ahead of him, and I can kind of understand why, because Alec Pierce has been similarly just – his usage has been outrageous. But Alec Pierce is on bye this week. So mm-hmm. if you need help this week, Tez would be my preferred pickup. I'd be interested, man. Like, I had to – Trashman somehow overlooked putting Luther Burden on this sheet. And I was like, he was one. Sometimes I'll miss it during the quality control that there's somebody that he just really needed to add that he didn't put on there. But I'm like, is Luther Burden already over 55% owned? And no, he's not. It's Trashman just has this cockamamie fixation with Olamide Zaccheaus, which actually lost us money in props this last week, that he did not account for Luther Burden with all of his Olamide Zaccheaus love. But I'm kind of intrigued by going and picking up Luther Burden at this point. Isn't now about the time of the season whenever a young, super talented guy like this, you know, starts to get a little bit more involved, and when the coach sees him take advantage of his opportunities, like he seemingly has been. It hasn't been like he's rolled out an absolute monster in recent weeks, but it's been, you know, three catches, 51 yards. He's finally getting to play half the snaps. He's playing as many snaps as Zaccheaus at this point. I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, young, explosive, good draft capital, offense that seems to be, I don't know if you'd say that they're ascending, but, you know, an offense that seems to be kind of coalescing around what their new coach wants out of them. What do you think about Burden? I wanted to get him up maybe a little bit higher, but I didn't want to just get him up over all the dudes the trash man really likes. And I'm not sure at this point you could put him over the Parker Washingtons, Troy Franklin's, certainly not Tez or Alec Pierce.
Yeah, I'm not ready to put him up. My biggest reason why I'm not ready to quite put him up there is just the fact that, like, it's disappointing and it's hard to own a guy like DJ Moore. Like, DJ Moore, like, we saw it 2 weeks ago with Rome, right? Rome goes out there, runs 98% of routes, scores zero fantasy points. Again, he was doing with an injury.
In a game where they put up 50.
Right. And then the following week, we get DJ Moore, who runs 66% of routes, scores zero fantasy points. And Olamide's in there being a nuisance. We got the evolution of Colston Loveland, who we'll talk about here in a second, and Komet's getting healthy and, like, things like this. Then you have Luther Burden, and you look at Luther Burden, and the only correlation that you can see on this guy's routes and opportunities is if he plays 25% of the – if he runs 25% of the routes in a game, the Bears win. They're undefeated this year when he runs 25% or more of his routes. Week 1 and 2 and week 8, he ran less than 25%. He didn't play in week 9 because he was hurt, but – those are the only three times they've lost. They're 6-1 the last seven games. And Caleb Williams looks like he's kind of coming into his own, playing better and better week over week. He's been a kind of a, you know, the last month, he's been pretty sick in fantasy. And Luther Burden is that dynamic guy that late in the season, as a rookie, is only going to continue to grow into more opportunity. And if the Bears are going to be pushing for a playoff spot, which it looks like they will, they're going to need all the weapons they can get. I just don't know how great it's going to be for fantasy side of the conversation. Like, dynasty, awesome, it's going to be great. Like, you have him, great. If you don't, you can still kind of get him now and you can see a little bit of flash, and, like, that's going to be able to give you a reason to go buy. But as far as, like, season long, it's I feel like there's just, again, too many mouths to feed, play the cliche alert, but, like, I just, what it is in Chicago right now.
Well, here's my thing with it. It's like, down the stretch of the season right now, after this, so after this week, only two teams on bye this week. And then I believe in week 12 is there four. And then there's none.
Chargers, Miami, Washington. Then
and then there's none in 13 because that's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right. And they got to have all the teams go because they have the cockamamie Black Friday game. And they got the three games on Thanksgiving and everything else. But then week 14, is that two or four?
Carolina, New England, Giants, San Fran.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're not missing out on too many of your great wide receivers anymore to where you really need to be keeping these guys on your bench. Mm-hmm. The only type of wide receiver that I want on my bench during this kind of stretch, looking at these top guys, are the dudes like the Luther Burdens that could come on, that just could explode onto the scene. And all of a sudden that he's the rookie sensation that really, really gets things going in a Chicago Bears playoff push. I don't see that. I don't know, man. I'm not sure I see that kind of thing happening for, you know, like Kayshon Booty or Christian Watson or something.
You got equal. I think you hate Booty equally as much as Trashman hates Burden.
Man, I don't hate Booty. Like, well, I mean, he's kind of hurt. And then now, I mean, I think with what Kyle Williams did on that, was that just one target that he had? I think Drake May said it was his only target at his post game. But
you know, a 74-yard touchdown.
What Kyle Williams was able to do, and you know, they've been talking Kyle Williams up a whole lot, right? So I don't know.
So you think he just Wally Pipped Kayshon Booty?
I don't think he Wally Pipped Kayshon Booty, but I do think that I don't know, man. You never know there. 1 week it's DeMario Douglas, 1 week it's Stephon Diggs, 1 week it's Hunter Henry, 1 week it's Kayshon Booty, and one week it's Kyle Williams or whatever.
So I like that then. I mean, I get the theory for sure with having like Burden. Like, so like deeper down then, like in Green Bay, like, is it like, so if you look at this whole list, Green Bay, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks gets back this week. Jaden Reed's going to be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully. Like, Jaden Reed potentially fits into that role as well.
Yeah, you could, like, I wouldn't mind. See, Jaden Reed's a guy that I wouldn't mind holding on to. Jaden Reed's awesome. So, like, yeah, if you could pick up Jaden Reed and just hope that he's back for your Thanksgiving week, I think that that's fine. I think those are the kinds of pickups I would make right now, as opposed to, you know, this week, it just feels like, I mean, what are you doing? Are you, like, I guess if you have Pittman or Olave or just something like that, you could pick up a Tez Johnson or something like that. I think Tez is another guy who you can, you know, pick up and hold. Like, I think it's fine to pick up and hold Tez. He was a seventh round pick and he ran slow and he's so short and small, but he is a guy who was, you know, he's a guy who's a rookie who they seem to really like, who we could see his role grow consistently. Those are the kinds of wide receivers I want to be picking up right now, as opposed to these dustier veterans, like your Tyler Lockett, who you think could maybe be in for something good down the stretches of a remaining garbage time type of lame duck run out here. Let's move on to tight end. And I think at the very top, there are all these guys at the very top, like the waiver wire in leagues where they aren't highly competitive. I understand that these guys might not be available in your league, but all these guys like Juwan Johnson's available in more than 50% of leagues. Colston Loveland still is. Harold Fannin Jr. Brenton Strange is going to be coming back soon. When did they open up his 21-day window? Yesterday?
They activated him. They said they're going to activate him, yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't just the 21-day window?
Yeah, he said we'll practice week 11, and they designated him to return yesterday.
Okay.
So he bounced right back in. I mean, the beginning of the year
for Brenton Strange. So he's back this week?
That's the hope.
Okay.
I got him in a grip of leagues, and like I'm hoping for that, you know, 85 to 90% snap share he got earlier this year. And
yeah, I'm not sure how much he's gonna get done against the Chargers. You know that the Chargers put the clamps down on tight ends. But
as far as like the season runs out, like it's not a terrible run out for him after you get through these next couple of weeks. Like he's got the Chargers and Titans, I think two of the next three. But then it eases up, and I think that's, you know, especially with just how Jacksonville looks right now, like they need Strange back in the middle of this field to improve over Hunter Long, dude.
Yeah, for sure. But I think all those guys, and then even like we mentioned Theo Johnson needs to be owned in your fantasy leagues. Now, if Jackson Dart misses significant time, because it's a concussion. I don't know if he's going to miss significant time. He might miss a week or so. But
can I ask you a random question, just because I don't think we're going to talk about it on Friday. With the Dart thing, I brought this up yesterday on the Top 10 Thoughts show. Like, if you were management of any sort in New York, would you just like, hey, this guy's been evaluated for four concussions. There's no like the talent around him is depleting.
Has he been evaluated? I guess he always just does go in that tent.
And Jeffy said yes to four times.
Yeah.
Would you, if you were ownership?
Dr. Scataboo went in the tent and said, he's fine.
So, like, there's no scat. There's no neighbors. And, like, you're down to, like, Ray McLeod, who was on the Falcons 2 weeks ago. Like,
you got Mike Kafka as your head coach.
And he's getting hammered right now. And it's like, this guy's a stud. Clearly, and he's running a lot. He's going to only continue to get hit. It's like you're putting more on wax for defensive coordinators to study over the summer. You're going to worsen your draft slot if he wins a game. Like,
just play like
coach is already gone.
Jameis, just play those.
Put Jameis in and just like let Jackson Dart. You're like, all right, we know what we got. Let's look forward to 26.
I would put him on ice, but I'm not. I don't know who makes – is it ownership that makes that decision? Is it the GM that makes that decision? I mean, are you going to let Joe Shane make that decision?
Shane should make any decisions, but I feel like that's America.
He fired before Dable.
100%.
I mean, like, I can't believe that he's claiming credit for Jackson Dart when he's clearly on film saying, all right, like, if you want to do it, you can do it. Like, all right, we can roll the dice. If you've done your evaluations and you really believe in him and you have all the conviction, the Pittsburgh Steelers are – quarterback needy team, and so I mean, look, if you feel like it, you've done the work, we can do it. Like he's doing.
I'm going to go sign Russell Wilson.
What?
But then I'm also going to go sign Russell Wilson on top.
It's just like Joe. Like, I don't understand how he just. You got to fire both those guys, man. You're gonna like. What are you going to do? Are you going to wait? Like, you need alignment in that building. You know, you don't, it's just like, how many times does this work out where you hold over a GM and then a new coach comes in and all of a sudden it's like, it becomes so much more political. And from the very beginning, fingers are being pointed in every single direction. It's a whole circular firing squad. And if you let the GM and the head coach come in together, it's like everybody's on the same team to start. It's like, yeah. I don't understand what they're doing. But yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought about shutting Dart down, but there's a non-zero chance of it. And that would definitely hurt Theo Johnson. All right. But yeah, I mean, and Dalton Schultz is still out there. I don't know if he can keep this up, but like, he's actually like, Dalton Schultz has been pretty awesome.
I think he's got a brutal schedule, I think.
So I was kind of thinking that. Why am I thinking that?
Titans, Buffalo. He's got a Colts match, which is solid. Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers down the stretch.
Okay. All right. So I got a couple things here. We get.
And Alex dropped. He should be back here. Where is he at? There he is.
Did my thing turn off? Sorry. Yeah. All right. So let's get a couple things I wanted to get to here. Our buy low, sell high kind of stuff. And can you drop them? And then also we're going to answer our friend's question here. I think his name on the website is Check Dark. And of course, you can go to rosterwatch.com if you're a pro member. We answer all your questions in the various pro threads, and sometimes we'll just do it in the free threads too. But we always make sure to answer every question in the pro threads that we stick up. And this is one. So this guy is sitting in a tie for first. He's saying, but he's in second because the other guy he's tied with in first has higher points scored. Okay. So here's his team. He's saying that he wants to make a consolidation trade, which is what we do at Roster Watch right now, heading into trade deadlines. We like to consolidate the depth on our roster into better players on our starting roster, right? We like to consolidate depth and then open up spots to be picking up the Brian Robinsons, the Isaiah Davises, the Devin Neals, like these types of dudes who could be RB1s for us down the stretch and, you know, in maybe one kind of week. And that can mean a lot to you. Just ask the people that use Kyle Manungai in the 1 week that he was, right? Here's the trade. He sends Teteroa McMillan, Breece Hall, and Quinshon Judkins, okay? In return, he gets Justin Jefferson and Omarion Hampton. His current wide receivers are JSN, Jamar Chase, Slayton, and Tet. So that would mean his wide receivers would now be JSN, Jamar Chase, and Jefferson. This is a 10-team league, and he used the cheat sheet, of course. His running backs right now are Gibbs, Montgomery, Breece, and Quinshon. What worries me about this, I was going to say, dude, I would do the deal. But I worry about having Gibbs and Montgomery is like having the two Lions guys as my two running backs. But I'm not even sure I should be that worried about it. But then you get that. How worried are we about Hampton?
I'm worried because of honestly how good Vidal looks and how cockamamie Harbaugh is. Like, I just don't think he's going to come back in and get some big role. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're going to get put in the corner of the chair. Like, we know Vidal can take 30 touches a game. He did it at Troy. I know Troy in the NFL is a lot different, but you think? Just took 94% of the snaps last week. Like, PFF thinks this is the worst offensive line in the sport, but it seems to be pretty good to me. It's just a joke. I don't know. I'm not worried about Hampton. I just don't know if I would. I like that because your receiving core is just so disgusting and your running backs are fine already. I think
the trade is about as fair as it comes. And so
I think you're improving your, Jefferson's also got the number one or number two strength of schedule rest of season next to the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think I would take it. I think I would take Jefferson and Hampton.
I mean, that was kind of where I leaned to, especially because at this point I'm getting a little bit worried about Breece and about Quinshon.
Those, I mean, those offenses are so bad. Like,
yeah,
right now it's it. They're both hanging on by threads.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, so Breece, are you selling him high right now?
Probably. I mean, it depends. Like in this situation, probably. You got a couple weeks to do it, and it's going to get tough here going to the playoffs. I don't want to go into the playoffs with him if I don't have to.
I feel like there might be a smallish sell high window, even though he's on bye. But just with Alvin Kamara, felt like he got a lot of work this last week. As somebody that has Kamara in a couple of – and not a couple – and just really one league, but it's a league I care a lot about because it's my home league with my college friends.
Yeah.
So I was just – man, it's – like he's a guy that I just had to be kind of benching and stuff lately. The usage for him, I was looking at it earlier. It's like it actually wasn't bad this last week. I wonder if he's a dude who you might be able to – let's see. What are you –
are you trying to trade for him?
No,
he was in for 64% of the snaps.
Yeah, but he had 25 touches.
Yeah.
Can you sell high on 25 touches?
I don't think you can sell Kamara right now. I don't think anybody's buying that.
All right. What about Mark Andrews? Sell
I'm not selling Mark Andrews, man. I'm riding this Mark Andrews thing into the ground right now. I talked about this yesterday in Top 10 Thoughts. Like, I think you look at the Ravens offense right now, there's a real possibility that this Ravens team goes from 1-5 to 9-5 going in to host New England on December 21st. And they're just, I mean, this is a, their schedules, Cleveland, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, like they're hot right now. And this offense is moving at a good pace. And
they get two Bengals.
They got the Bengals twice.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Steelers, Jets, Browns. And the Steeler game is at home. They end the season at Steelers, which is not going to be a fantasy game, but it's a nice run out here. And Mark Andrews, I think, is going to continue to give you, feed you. And I think this whole offense is it's weird because it's like normally you're like someone's not getting something. It's like Flowers is getting his, Andrews is catching touchdowns, Henry's ever so close game in and game out, and Lamar's getting better every week. It's like Baltimore's about to be a wagon.
Sell high on Devontae Smith.
I mean, do you want to sell? You probably can, but I don't know if you want to with just how kind of like, what's the word? Is it incompetent? Like the connection is between AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts all year.
It feels like Devontae has just become what the eyeballs say is he's become the focal point of the passing offense.
Yeah. I mean, it's like AJ's there, he's running all the routes, he's doing his thing, but it's like, you just never know when it's going to happen with him, where it's like Devontae, it's like, what? Like,
it's like Sark says, man, I mean, the ball finds him. It's just like, that's the way it feels this year. It's like, you're just going to hold him.
You probably can, but I just wouldn't do it. I just don't think I would do it.
Okay, so you hold Jameson Williams. Do you sell high now that Dan Campbell seems to be calling plays and he's just got a huge rabbit in his pocket to get this guy the football? Did you see him on the one play wherever he called the play and then he celebrated as if he had just scored a touchdown? Before the play call, like right after the play call, and then J-Mo catches it and scores, and all he did was he called the play, he called it in, then he goes like, like he was just like,
was there,
yeah, as if he'd already scored, and then of course J-Mo scores, just maniacal.
I mean, three of the last 4 weeks he's been a top 20 option, so. You probably can sell high if you want to. So
I think he's a good sell high candidate right now.
I think he is too. It's a good run out, but there's a couple tough matchups, pocketed in there. There's a lot of home games down the stretch. Four of the next six are at home.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. He's definitely
and then one of the two. So they're at Philly this week, and then it's dome.
So it's all indoors the rest of the year? Oh, okay.
Yeah, after Philly this week.
All right, and can you sell high on – do you want to sell high on Travion Henderson, or do you want to hold him?
part of me still does not trust Mike Vrabel at all. Part of me still thinks he's going to try and put the genie back. He's still only got 15 touches in this game. And he still probably should have got like 23. And it feels like just we, I mean, he's doing the thing in seasonal. I think at this point, people are going to be so ticked off that they held him for so long and he's finally doing something. And this team is going to end up winning 12 or 13 games. I think it's going to be almost impossible for Braves to put this thing back in the bottle, but you could sell high. It just depends. It has to be one of those consolidations where it's Travion and a receiver, like maybe at the Teterola level, maybe below Teterola's level. And you have to be getting a super just dependable, you know, high end, lot of snaps at the wide receiver position, a lot of snaps at the running back position, or a lot of routes run at the wide receiver position. It has to be a super, super consolidation upgrade.
All right. Lightning round here on the buy lows. Are you buying low on Justin Jefferson?
Yes.
Are you buying low on Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Are you buying low on Derrick Henry?
Yes.
Are you buying low on Michael Pittman?
No.
Are you buying low on Quinshon Judkins?
Unfortunately, not in season long.
All right, and can you drop them? The toughest segment of the week, Bam Knight.
Yes.
Kyle Manungai.
No, this team's going to win some games.
Matthew Golden.
Yes.
Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
Jordan Mason.
No. Aaron Jones is still not quite 100%.
Chris Godwin.
I need one more week.
It's always one more week. Jordan Love. Somebody asked if they can drop Jordan Love. I'm not sure I would.
I was going to say, like, I don't know what you're going to get. What are you going to get, Tua? Like,
yeah. When you pick up Jacoby Brissett or something, it's just pretty, tough.
I think you're just, I'm taking the team that has more talent around him and that's going to be a better football team. That's the Packers.
TJ Hawkinson.
Cut him.
They're saying he might not again be ready for this week, and it's not like he's been great all year. Isaiah Pacheco,
cut him.
And then now you got to remember what week we're in right now, Cody. We're in week 11, right? You can do math, I think. Now that he's on, well, I'm just not even going to. There could be very little time left to play him, but can you drop him? Can you drop Garrett Wilson?
Yes.